We're going to pick up in Matthew 26, verse number 58. I'm not going to backtrack what I did last week, but as we follow through this, now I'm reading through the verses, you're going to see Peter's steps again of backsliding, or like I said, Paul talks about getting out of fellowship. He calls it getting out of fellowship. Now look, it says, "But Peter followed him afar off." That's how it starts. It all starts how you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are supposed to follow the Lord, and when you get to where you just a little bit, and it don't take much, but you stop praying just a little bit more. Here, this pulpit's the Lord. You start praying this a little bit more. You get closer because you're talking to. But you stop your praying, and you're just gonna be just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And a little bit,
right.
And a little bit. And you wonder, if you've ever, you know, the Bible talks about how this world is like a troubled sea a lot of times. Have you ever seen a boat going in the distance? You ever been to the ocean or something and saw a boat going in the distance, and that boat just slowly just fades from view? Well, what happens is your view of the Lord Jesus Christ gets a little bit less detailed. And before long, we're questioning things we never thought we'd question, because that following afar off. And I tell you, there's a lot to that to be said. But that's what the very thing we don't want to do is be following the Lord afar off. But he said, afar off under the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now, if you start off that chapter, which you don't have to, but it talks about how they were all assembled together, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people, unto the palace to the high priest. He's in the very places of the assembly, with an assembly of people who don't even love the Lord and trying to put him to death. Well, before long, that following far off, before long, you've joined in with people who think just like the world and don't care anything about Jesus, and they kill him if they had the chance. Now that's that following afar off. And you know what gets me is, especially within this last year, people are in grave danger and don't even realize it. Let me tell you something about this stuff. I know that there are people who can't come to church, and we all know that. There's some people who can't get out, and all that, and we understand it. But I'm gonna tell you something, those people need to be reading, they need to be praying, they need to be studying. Why? Because it does us a lot of good to see one another's faces and countenance. It don't take but just a little bit. Well, I'm not going to, normally, and look, if nothing else, the people come to church at least on Sunday to pick up their Bible. You go a whole week and don't pick up your Bible, you will start following afar off.
Yeah, exactly.
And before long, I'm going to tell you something, man. Look, one reason I thank God He allowed me to preach, because, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's hard for me. I'm a preacher, and I know I have to stay in the book to get something together to even be able to present to you.
Yep.
Much less if I didn't have the accountability to be seeing other people. And you get there and you say, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Following afar off.
That's right.
And before long, you'll be praying tomorrow. And before long, it's been a week since I've prayed. And before long, it's been a month. And you're way out there. And you know what happens? Just like that ship that's way out there on that sea, you can't make any detail out. When you do get in an emergency situation, when you're close to the Lord, you whisper and say, hey, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I need you. You're right there close to him. You can hear that still small voice, and you can hear him talking to you. But you get way out there far, he has to holler at you. And you know, the trouble is, a lot of times, I've been working with people before, especially if you're working over equipment and stuff like that, like, if I'm working now, this grinder I use is loud. That thing is loud. If anybody's heard it, it's loud. And people's had to come up. And I don't want to get close to me, because that thing will sling stuff all over the place. And they have to holler, hey, hey, like this. And now, a lot of times you'll take it wrong. I had a guy sneak up on me here the other day, which y'all know, man, I love him to death, Brother Willie. He snuck up on me. But he had to holler to get my attention. Well, when I heard somebody hollering, immediately I thought, what the world? You know, I'm on the defensive. Mm-hmm. Well, look, a lot of times when people falling afar off, the Lord has to holler, hey! And then guess what happens? They take it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The And the Lord said, hey, I just have to holler a little bit louder now. I've got to get your attention. I can't speak in that still small voice. You're not as close. You're not following as close. Y'all, I'm telling you that thing, and then you can take the Lord the wrong way, and before long you've gotten offended. And then when somebody can be saying something and not even mean it, and you take it the wrong way, well, falling afar off, can't see the detail. It's a lot to it. It says in verse 59, now the chief priests and elders and all the council, you better watch out with those council. Anytime I see council, because of what I read in the Bible, I always question that stuff. Salt, watch this. Instead of seeking truth, like they're supposed to, the Bible teach you, seek truth and find salt, false witness against Jesus. Couldn't find, look, he's such a good man, they had to try to find somebody. Now look, you wouldn't, a mere man, you wouldn't have to go far. Somebody talk bad about you. Somebody say something true. Why? Because we've all had years where we messed up and things like that. But the Lord, they had to seek it, and it says, sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. What a bunch of rascals. That just gets you in a completely high-pitched voice. Was mad at them, man.
Right.
All right, he says, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses. Now, the law tells you, I think it's Deuteronomy 17:6. And 19:15, you don't have to turn it, but it says that the mouth of two or three witnesses shall all things be established. So they had to have those two or three witnesses. But another thing too, in Hebrews 10:28, the Bible says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So they're trying to spare him any mercy at all, and they don't show him no mercy. They try to get two or three witnesses so they can just do what they want to, and see, you know what they're trying to do? Clear their own conscience. But their conscience is so seared here in just a little while. We're going to see they won't even take the money here in a little while because they don't want to violate a portion of the law, but yes, they'll murder somebody innocent.
Yeah.
Man, you see how that's why some people, their conscience gets seared, they get to follow the Lord afar off, and sometimes they even say, if they can take one Bible verse and believe that thing right. But they seared their conscience and other things, and they'll get there and take that thing over there and say, well, you can't serve the Lord for you've been divorced. You old dirty rat, you.
Hey.
Yeah, you can't even find that in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, you can twist it and make the Bible say something it really doesn't say. But see, what they'll do is, this is the very thing. Some people will say, well, so-and-so, he can serve the Lord this capacity. You know, whatever, they'll make up. Now, he's been to prison for murder, got out, and stuff like that. He can serve, but this other guy here, he's been divorced, can't do it. Seeing the hypocrisy, you see, when you start seeing that confliction there, you start seeing right here, you start saying, I see that doesn't make sense. Anytime you see things, there's another text that says that they the false witnesses, and it talks about how they conflicted each other, they contradicted each other. All right. Well, here's another thing too. That's one reason why I teach y'all, and you've got it in your lap, the King James Bible, the Word of God. When you write a divide your Bible, there's no contradictions whatsoever. Now, if I take a Bible over here and somebody says, all right, here's the Word of God, and I say, number one, it's got a copyright on it, and then it's got false things in there. One of them says, well, one scripture says, well, Eliezer killed Goliath, and the other one says he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lie. There's false witness in there. I know something's wrong. Somebody's trying to make money. Money. You know one reason why they hated the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was hurting their money. More people were following him than it was them. And then guess what else? He overturned the money changers. All right, so he's hurting their income. In so many ways, he's doing all these miracles and stuff like that. And then here in a little while, when the veil of the temple is rent in twain from top to bottom, they're really mad, aren't they? They're out of business. This man's got to go. I tell you something, you start costing the devil money, you're going to have to go. You know why? As we get closer and closer to seeing the Lord come for us and the rapture of the church, you know what you're seeing? It's costing them money. That's why they hate Christians. It costs them money. Look, you can't run factories of adultery and fornication and witchcraft and all that type of stuff, lying and murder and all these basically fraud, all the fraud that goes on. and ripping people off. You can't pull out all that off with people being close to the Lord. Now you think about this. What if we had a great sweeping revival and people stopped doing all the devilment they're doing? Well, think about how many people go out of business. What would you... Well, now look, I thank God for police officers. But you wouldn't have to have near as many police officers as people as close to the Lord. You think about all the sin. You think about your gambling houses and stuff like that. People started following the Bible and stuff. Well, they'd go out of business. Look, people make a living on sin. Sin, man. And that's why they hated Jesus and they hate you. Why? Because without you sinning, people stop making so much money. You think about doctors. You know that a lot of sickness is based on sin.
That's right.
People destroying their own health.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? How many doctors wouldn't be? You wouldn't have near need for doctors. What I'm telling you is Jesus cost this world money. And that's why this world worship. He said you can't worship both God and mammon. Why? Because as it gets closer, they're going to worship mammon more. Look, the devil's going to set up an economic system that if you'll join that economic system, well, you'll be able to buy and sell and eat and drink and get gain and get filthy rich. But if you don't, it's going to cost you. And you'll see these things, which right now it ain't nowhere near as bad on us as it's going to be for the generation this year after we're out of here. But I'm just telling you, you see how that set up is? The world can make you filthy rich if you follow the devil. But you guess what? I got a verse in my Bible, Mark. I don't know if I get to it in the sermon today. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, it talks about the Lord in the Old Testament, forgetting out of all His benefits. Well, I can tell you something. I found one in Paul. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I'm going to show you something that blessed my heart out of Ephesians. I was reading over there, and it says over here, I just read that thing. I may have to find it. Let's see here. All right. It talks about, here's one of them. It talks about serving the Lord in Ephesians 6. It says, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So I'm really working for God. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. There's some of God's benefits. Why? Because you know what? Sometimes God can give you things. Now look, He may bless some people with money. That's a blessing. Why? Because I thank God we got to have that to get by too. I'm glad He does entrust it with some people. But according to that verse right there, the fact that, hey, God can keep you from costing a whole lot of money. He can give you healthy days. He can keep your house from having as many problems as some people do and things like that. And I'm not saying... If you don't serve God, He's going to break your water heater down. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this right here. A lot of things that could happen to us don't happen to us because God is laying His protective hand on us.
That's right.
Look, His protective hand is worth a lot more than what people give it credit for. It's worth a lot to have God's protection on you, your family, and your life.
Exactly.
But see, they seek false witnesses against God. People love nowadays. People love liars. I'm gonna go over a few things with false witness. The Bible says in Exodus 20:16, the law, and Deuteronomy 19:18 talks about how you're not supposed to be false witness. That's against the law. So here they are seeking false witness. They're not breaking the law themselves. They're getting somebody else to do it. You know, a lot of people do to get you to do their dirty work. They won't do it themselves, but they'll get somebody else to do it. Sorry. That's demonic. I want to read a few verses to you about false witness and try to help us from being big old liars. Proverbs 6:19 says, it talks about several things the Lord hates. But one of them is in verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. A false witness. The Lord hates that. He absolutely hates a false witness. Now, let me tell you this right here. The Bible says we're supposed to be His witnesses. Now, we're not supposed to witness falsely against the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about they that worship God in sincerity. You know what I like about that? I don't have to make out like my voice is any better than it really is, or I don't have to make out like I'm not as country as I really am, stuff like that. Guess what? Don't be a false witness. Just be who God made you be. There's nothing wrong with improving. I want to improve my skills and ask God to help me. But I don't have to be somebody who I'm not to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That's a false witness. And we're not supposed to be that. Another thing, too, is Proverbs 19, verse number 5. There's several things. I tell you what, Proverbs, I read them every day, one a day, because it's a whole lot in there, man. I love it. But it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You got all these liars in the world, and people worry about, well, so-and-so's doing this and so-and-so, and they get on that old devil news. Look, they're not going to be unpunished. Yeah. They'll get there one day.
That's right.
Don't even worry about it. Why? Because, look, he tells you there, and that whole moral principle carries all the way across. It says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. You don't have to worry about it. It's going to happen. You say, well, here, I'm going to give you another one before I get over in Paul. And Proverbs 25:18 says this. I'm just telling you, we don't need to be false witnesses, and we don't have to be. It says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, like mauled by a bear. He says, spiritually speaking, you're maul. Look, a lot of these people talk about all these sins and so on and so forth. What about false witness? What about mauling people? What about being a maul? Watch this. And a sword. Well, sure not a godly sword. See, the devil's got a sword. You know what? False witness.
That's right.
The devil uses false witness. God uses truth. It's two different swords. That's why that Bible has to be specific when it's talking about the truth of God. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, the devil's got a counterfeit sword, and it's right here. False witness is a counterfeit sword. He says it's a maul sword and a sharp arrow. Talk about being pierced through with arrow. You know that's why you have to have your shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. All that false witness. Look, y'all gonna keep serving the Lord. You know what's gonna happen? Somebody's gonna false witness. But guess what? You just put that shield of faith up and say, I've got faith. God got the Lord Jesus Christ through it, and He's able to get me through. Why, He's tempted in all points like as we are. You know what I can do? I can appeal to Him through faith, and I can put that shield up.
That's right.
And that's what you're gonna need in this world. Why? Because people lie about you, but we don't have to do it. Now you say, well, does Paul say the same thing? Check it right there, right along with Pauline doctrine. It'll go right with us. Romans 13, verse 9 says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. He repeats all those commandments. The only commandment that we're not under of the Ten Commandments is the Sabbath, because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. We worship God every day. Which they did, but not in the same sense. Look, that shows you that brother, that Bible right there, every bit of that stuff is good. It'll help us.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you this right here, if you tell the truth, I tell my kids, I hope and pray that they'll learn that early. Some of the biggest stuff I've ever got myself into is I say, why did I lie? Why did I lie?
Right.
Now look, I'll give you a quick story on this thing. Me and Jason was working out one time, and I told Carl and them this is pretty funny. This guy, he's bigger than us. He kept coming in. He's talking about, man, I warm up 225, put that 315 on, and then I get that 4-5 and start repping 4-5. I'm thinking, man, this guy is strong. And so anyway, we went up there a little while after that, and we went up there to the bench press competition. And his max was 315. That was his max. And my brother called him out on it. My brother said, hold on now, we're having that 4-5 you warming up, and that 440 you was going to mention. He's like, I've had a bad day. So what I'm telling you is, it'll catch you. One day, or you can tell folks you can do this, or you can do that, and all that stuff. Better be humble, man. Why? Because we may have to eat them words.
Yes, you will.
And that line comes back. Verse 61 says, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Bunch of liars. I'm telling you what, now, when you read that statement there, you say, well, what did he say that? Did he say, I am able to destroy the temple of God? Let's check it. I want to give you a verse, John 2:19. They said, he said, I am. See that one word? That's why in your Bible, well, you're going to see this. One, you're not supposed to change one word. People say, well, it just don't do nothing to change the these and the thou. It says one word, thee and thou, that's one word. Don't change it. Well, it keeps it accurate. Of course I don't say thee and thou. But when we're talking about the Bible, it has to be accurate between singular and plural. And modern English don't have, this is not, people say, well, don't talk like we do today. It's biblical English. Never man spake like this man spake. This is the Lord Jesus Christ on paper. It said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So guess what? He's going to speak different. It's just accurate biblical language. It's not supposed to. Some people say, don't sound like we said. It's not supposed to. It's pure.
Yeah.
All right. So what did he say? Watch it. In John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. He said, you're going to destroy this temple. He said, I will destroy this. Change one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I know what you're going to do. You're going to kill me.
That's right.
Come on. Now here's another thing I thought was very interesting about this right here. They said this, and these false witnesses changed a little bit and swapped it around. But in Matthew 27, verse number 63, it says, these are the chief priests and everything. They come together unto Pilate, verse 63, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. You know what that tells me? That makes me so mad when I see that. They knew what he was talking about.
Right.
They knew more than the disciples knew over in John. They knew their scriptures well enough. When he said that, they knew what he was talking about. They just didn't believe he was God.
Yeah.
They didn't want to believe it. Why? Because if he really was God, they were so in love with the way they had it, that they were so comfortable.
Yeah.
That they didn't have to have a kingdom come. Why? Because for them, they were doing as fine as in their mind as they would have done in the kingdom. They didn't care. They knew what he was talking about. They said, hey, that man said he was going to rise again the third day. Say, destroy this temple and I'll raise again. Let me tell you something. They knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they still did what they did. You know what that tells them? Those priests read that Bible. They knew that scripture and they read that Bible. And you know what that tells me? A hard heart can blind you to the truth when it's staring you right in the face.
That is exactly.
You know what's wrong with so many people today? Same thing is wrong with them. They've got the truth and they don't care because they don't want to see it that way. Y'all, that helps me figure out so much. I said, why? What is wrong with that person? Why are they believing that junk? And I get to reading this right here and I said, they don't want to. They absolutely do not want why. It's in their mind, it's in their best interest, because if they believe the truth, they're going to change their whole way of living. And they don't, they're so comfortable in that. Some people, They don't care. Look, they'll sit in the house all day long and collect a government check. If you're capable of working, if you ain't capable of working, that's what that stuff's for, to help people who need it.
Yeah.
But for these people sitting around their 20s and stuff like that and could work and can't work, they want a lazy check and a crazy check, I'm going to tell you something. They end up getting what they've got coming to them while they end up being lazy and crazy. Sitting around, I'm going to tell you something, sitting around in your house when you could be outside working and you're sitting there, especially these young folks that didn't, you've got a whole generation doing that stuff, and sitting there when they could be out doing that stuff would drive you crazy. They won't be worth the powder it takes of putting a gunshot for them in a few years of that stuff. Why, they get so just, and look, the Bible talks about the spirit of slothfulness.
That's right.
Some people who lay around all the time and don't do nothing, man. You ever seen, I know you around workers. Y'all around some of these workers. You ever seen them? Look. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, you get lazier looking at them. Like, I got to go. I got to get out of here, man. It's rubbing off on me. Lazy rascal. Well, guess what? That's that hard heart. Now, look, 62, it says, and the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? Watch this. This is scary.
Amen.
But Jesus held his peace. Well, Isaiah 53, you know,
right.
Talked about how he was a lamb before his shears and he opened not his mouth. Because look, Jesus can't do anything but tell the truth.
Right.
They don't want the truth, so guess what he does? He's quiet. You know what that tells me? on moral issues like this, is Jesus the same day, yesterday, today, and forever? You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They don't hear from the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they don't want the truth, and He knows. And He said, hey, they don't want the truth anyway. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. You know what's a scary thing to me? Is be reading this Bible, knowing that we're about to minister to somebody. Lord, give me something here. He's not speaking. Why? Because He said, hey, there's a truth in there. You won't acknowledge that truth. I can't get you past that until you acknowledge that.
Exactly right.
God said, I said, in my word, rejoicing always.
Always.
Well, how come whenever you have a bad thing or two happen, how come you think it's the end of the world, Chase? See, I tell you what, someday, I don't know how it is with y'all, but Carla, sometimes I have to call Carla and she'll cheer me up. If one thing happens, two or three things will happen just back to back. And I think, what just happened? How did 5 minutes ago I was doing fine? And the Lord said, I said, rejoice always. Why? Because just like He can turn it right back around.
Yes,
I called Carla the other day and I had three or four things going on at once. I said, I felt frustrated. All this is happening all at once. And I'm not kidding you. I don't know if she did or not, but a lot of times I'll call and she's starting to pray for me. Within about 30 minutes, we had the fire put out. I was back rolling. But man, I'm going to tell you something. For just a little bit, I was thinking, Lord, I know it's not your fault. I know not to do that, but what is going on? What is going on? But you know what? Until we acknowledge that truth and say, God, you're good whether I get it fixed or not. Okay, now we move on. See, you got to acknowledge that truth. He said, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, which I know, kind of like we said, but what I'm telling you is, you see how he just, you said it, just, he's done with them. Look, man, that's scary. You know what that tells me? These souls right here, these people right here are so hard. The Lord's not even trying to talk to them. That's a scary thing, man. People come in, they sit on the church pews. I've seen them before, which it's been a long time since I've seen this. But I've seen people start off and they'll be about middle ways. And I've seen them during the sermon and grab those pews until their knuckles turn white. Well, then they'll leave. Not talk to anybody about the gospel or nothing like that. I mean, as soon as we're finished, they'll run straight out that door. And I've seen them come back in and they'll be on the back pew. And then they're still leaning forward. And then I've seen them get to where they just look around. Nothing bothered. And I'm telling you what, it's been one or two. Just since I've been preaching, I haven't been preaching as long as a lot of people. But they didn't make it. One boy, he said he got a job on one of those oil rigs, wasn't it, oil rig? And he said, as soon as I get back, I want to talk to you about salvation. I said, man, talk to me now. Right now, man. Let's get this thing fixed. He said, man, I'm down here. I got all these folks. I got a lot going on. And I tried to tell him, look, man, you can't clean yourself up and come to God. You got to come to God. He'll clean you up a little bit here, there, and yonder. I said, but you go ahead and get saved now. He didn't do it. And he died when he got back. I'm going to tell you something. That break your heart, man. That will break your heart. I'm going to tell you this. All endings, the only ending that comes out good is those who are in the lower one. Because we've read the last chapter, we know what happened. But on this earth, all the endings aren't happy endings. Some people die without Christ. And get these people right here, got him right in front of them. He knows they don't want to listen. He says, well, here's an important word. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter, later on, he told Pilate and John, he said, thy kingdom is, my kingdom's not now. See, what he's saying is, yeah, you got the kingdom right now. But he said, now, that's an important word. Why? Because later, the Lord's going to come back and take over. And one of these days, I'm going to tell you something, after that tribulation, he's going to come back. And brother, thank God we're going to be a part of it while we're joint heirs with Christ, ever with the Lord. And look, we'll come back to it. But it's not now. That's so important. Why? Evil's reigning now. They got an hour, but an hour ain't long. He said, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Man, what a blessing. I'm glad we're going to be able to be with the Lord. I'm glad, so glad we know Him and all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you this right here. They're not going to be glad seeing. See, there's two coins of that thing. You can be glad to sing, or you can be sad to sing. I'm glad. I'm going to be glad. I'm glad. That's a gladness. In verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes. What a false show. Some people just get literally, we say tore up about it. He got literally tore up about it over something. Just over lies. It's amazing how people get tore up over lies all the time. They'll watch stuff on TV and get all tore up about something. But you let something in the biblical truth come across and say, Lord, I wish I got as tore up about my... You know when they're supposed to... Over in the Bible, people like Mordecai and Job, they got tore up and they ripped it over their sin. This right here, over an innocent man. Why? Because he's just trying his best to show all his outward emotion. Got to come forth. I got to show everybody how I'm upset. That's false. That's false. I know a lot of people who have some huge hearts, but they don't really show a whole lot of emotion. They show you by their actions. Just because sometimes you see some of these people made this outward display of stuff. They're some of the most insincere people you've ever seen in your life. But some of the most sincere people, they don't really show a whole lot of outward emotion, but they'll show it with their actions. This right here, this man is false. I'm going to show them how upset I am. Oh, liar. Just a liar. He said, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Now, in the law, see, this whole thing right here shows you how the world works. In the law, what were they supposed to do? Stone him. That's too quick a death. You know what they're going to do? Turn him over to the Romans, and they want to see. They're so mad at this guy. They're so mad at the Lord that they want to see him die. Slow, painful, excruciating death.
That's
how much they hate him. And you see what sin will do?
Yes.
Sin will get... A lot of times people wonder how so much can go. You keep searing that conscience and keep searing that conscience. And you'll have a few Bible verses to clear your conscience. You'll say, we're going by these. We're not going to take the money. And we're not going to do this to him. But guess what? We're going to kill that rascal. Make him suffer for it. You see how that conscience is? You know what scares me? I'm more scared of my own self than somebody else. Why? Because I know what this flesh is capable of. Brother, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, there's no telling what we would do. Look, if your flesh could get away with it, you know what it would do? Kill all your enemies. Guess what? These people right here, operating completely by the flesh, here's the enemy. And guess what? It tells you the flesh will take matters in its own hand and watch people die slow. That's what they're going to do with it. That, you know what that shows? Lord, save me from myself. My sins, myself, Satan, hell, I need salvation from all of it. Why? Because the world, the flesh, and the devil. See what the flesh is doing right here? It gets right in collusion with the devil. And guess what? That lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things, that stuff gets to working together. All three of those things work together. And you're seeing it working in these men. It says this, then did they spit in his face. Man, I'm telling you something, that just breaks my heart, man. When I read this stuff about the crucifixion, you know why a lot of preachers don't preach the crucifixion? It's hard to read this stuff. When you get to reading about this, and I'm seeing where we're at on time, when you get to reading about these things right here, it breaks you. Why? He's innocent. I'm going to tell you, you know what would make me mad? My children are just sweet as they can be, but they're not as innocent as the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned.
Yeah.
Now, you think about how mad it would make you if somebody took an innocent little child and spit on a child and beat them. And you think, I think God, I'm saved. Why? You think whenever the father does get his chance, he's going to say, son, go down there. And I want you to trample them out, and the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle. Thank God. Look, when I read this right here, I'm glad. I'm glad he took my place. I'm glad I'm saved. And let me tell you something, there's nothing like it. Well, these people like this right here, that could have been me and that could have been you. Wow, just to satisfy our flesh. It says, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy on us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? You know, one of these days, they're going to have to meet that judge. They're going to have to meet him. And he's going to say, now, I didn't do it then, but now, I'm going to tell you, you're one of the ones that smoked me when you could have trusted me.
Yeah.
Ooh, thank God I'm on the winning side. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this morning you know the Lord?
We'll close out right there.